Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
I am getting you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all of those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would just open our hearts, our ears, our to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, to speak to us. And I pray that you would encourage us, God, in our readiness this morning, so that we could be prepared for your return. This I pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. I've done quite a few weddings over the years, and I've seen how people handle the pressure of weddings over the years. When I do a wedding, I actually do a late fee. I've developed this years ago because otherwise you could be waiting half an hour, 2 hours for the bride to show up before the wedding to start. So I do a late fee, and if you arrive 15 minutes late, then you lose the security deposit. And that helps brides, especially grooms, because they don't want to lose that security deposit. But I have hardly ever had a wedding that has started late. Some have been smooth, but some have been crazy. Absolutely crazy. Most of them were challenging due to the people that were a part of the wedding or connected to the wedding. Usually, of the weddings that I've done, if things went wrong or things didn't weren't going the right way, it was usually the mother of the groom, or bridesmaid, or if the bride's sister is connected to the wedding and there's a bit of jealousy that's there. Or it's the wedding planner. Oh my goodness, I've had my residents wedding planners. Wedding planners who are organized and they have everything together, they inform me what's happening and how it's happening, and wedding planners that have no clue, that you wonder how were they ever got to the position of being wedding planner. I remember one wedding, as I came out to start the ceremony and I'm welcoming everybody and introducing everybody, I'll look down and I see someone walking down the aisle, and it's the wedding planner. And she's carrying a bunch of candles in her hand, and there were candelabras over on the sides, and she comes up to me on stage while I'm starting the wedding and says, "Pastor, can I light the candles now?" Like, are you kidding me? I said, "Sorry, you cannot." And then rather than going to the side, she walks right back down the middle of the aisle all the way out. And everyone just paused. And I waited. I waited for her to go. I was not going to continue. But Jesus here talks about this parable. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus was trying to communicate to them. And he starts off by saying the kingdom of heaven is likened to. In other words, as it pertains to the way God does things, he begins. began to give different examples of what it would be like. And in this particular scripture, he was talking about what it's going to be like at the end. What it's going to be like with the return of Jesus Christ. We don't know if the return for the rapture of the church. The Bible speaks of the church, those who accepted Jesus Christ being raptured into heaven to be with him, or after his reign when he comes back here on earth. We don't know, but the Bible is Jesus communicating to me that when he is returning, this is what it's going to be like, is what he's saying. And the bridegroom in this story is Jesus, and he talks about five who were wise, the virgins, and five who were foolish. I don't know why he described them as virgins, but they could have been bridesmaids. But he was describing them, and Jesus is the bridegroom here, and the parable is describing his return, and he's trying to communicate to them what it's going to be like when he returns. And the historical setting is known to be a certainty. In other words, when he gives the parable, it usually has a positive meaning, a certain meaning as to what's going to take place. In the description of the first century Jewish wedding, Dr. Carson, in his commentary, describes the setting in this way. He says, normally the bridegroom with some of his close friends would leave his house and would go to the house of the bride. And there would have various ceremonies. And these ceremonies will last for several days. And following that, they will leave the bride's home and they would go back to his house. And there'll be a procession through the streets. Usually this was in the evening, and this would be going towards his home. The 10 virgins may be bridesmaids, like I said earlier, but usually those who were the wedding party were responsible to carry their own light. And it could be a lamp, and it could be a torch wrapped in a cloth, but this cloth would be soaked in oil to be able to allow the light to continue, because the procession could be a long procession, because you never know how far the groom would be had lived from the bride's house. But everyone in their procession would go, and they'd be carrying their torches as they went through the streets. And everyone knew who the groom was, who the bride was, but they also knew those that were in the wedding party. Because those that did not have a torch or a light, they were assumed to be party crashers. If you didn't have a light, you were a party crasher, or you were a robber. You were people who came in the wedding and they tried to get in the door in order to rob the people that were there. Overall, and easily, there in this parable, Christ's return was something that he was trying to let people know they need to be ready for. They need to be ready for. And as seen the fact that these virgins who are supposed to be ready, they weren't ready. And the Bible says that they now fall asleep. And it's an indication that it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, we still have to be ready. We still have to be ready. And we may be working, we may be sleeping, we may be pursuing leisure activities, whatever it is we must be doing, or whatever we're doing, we have to do it in such a way that we are always continually ready, making things right, ensuring that we have enough oil, because Jesus can return at any moment. So there's three things I want us to look at this morning. The first is this: be ready so you don't have to get ready. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, be ready so you don't have to get ready. Well, how do you do this? Well, being ready for Christ's return ultimately involves one major thing which manifests itself in several areas. And it starts with you as an individual making the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where it starts. That's where the readiness starts. It doesn't start with you trying to be a good person. It doesn't start with you trying to get your act together, buying your clothes, and looking presentable. It starts with you making a decision between you and Jesus Christ, between you and your Heavenly Father, to decide to follow Jesus Christ. That prepares you for his return. The Bible says that we must be born again. Nicodemus came, who was a ruler in Israel, came to Jesus trying to understand what he needs to do to be ready. Jesus says, well, you have to be born again. You have to accept that he came on this earth, that he died on this earth, that he was buried, but there was a is that he was raised from the dead. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Being ready is accepting that he is the only way, the only truth, the only. And I know that isn't tolerant today. That's what the scripture says. I know we want to lump a bunch of things in there to kind of make everyone be calm and make everyone be acceptable, but Jesus didn't play that game. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. And so he said to Nicodemus, God loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever, whatever status you're in, no matter who you are, if you just believe on him as the Son of God, you will be saved. In Romans, Paul tells us that if we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ as being our Lord and our Savior, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, he says that you'll be saved, you'll be ready. You'll be ready.
Yes.
See, saving faith in Jesus Christ will manifest itself in every area of our life. No matter what we're doing, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether we're on vacation, we cannot be separated from the decision that we have made to follow him. So being ready involves asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins. No, we've done some things in our lives that we regret. We've done some things in life that we think that there's no way God can ever receive me or accept me. Believe me, I've been there myself. We got the t-shirt, sent the postcards. We've done it all. Being ready involves me spending time reading my Bible and understanding and reading the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what being ready involves. I know we want to shortcut our way into heaven. We want to shortcut our way in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But he says, this is the only way to go. It involves a relationship with him. Being ready involves a fellowshipping like we are doing this morning with other believers, where we're able to encourage each other, love on each other, and helping others, but also sharing the message of Jesus Christ with everyone that we meet so that they too can become devoted followers of Jesus Christ. You see, the 10 virgins look the same. They look the same. They all dress the same. No one can tell one from the other. They all got ready the same way. They're all in the processional together. But some were ready and some were not ready. The 5 virgins who had extra oil represented those who were ready for Jesus. They were ready to meet the bridegroom. They were prepared. They had expressed their willingness and their eagerness to follow him and were prepared for his coming. The saving faith of Jesus Christ is what determined those who were wise and those who were foolish. And no matter what the length of time was, their commitment still stayed the same. Well, if you have to decide this morning, you have to decide to be ready so you don't have to get ready. But also, don't wait until the last minute to get ready. Jesus said that all of the virgins fell asleep and the groom was delayed because it was a long day. I've never done a wedding where the groom was delayed. I wondered if this was a miswriting here, because I've never done a wedding where the groom was delayed. We were always waiting for the bride to arrive. And then they said it's normal for the bride to be late. It's normal. How many brides in this room, you were actually late for your wedding? 2 honest people. Right? It's just normal for the bride to be fashionably late, they like to call it. They like to pretty it up, but you're still late. I still charge her. She's 50 minutes late. Right? Because we wait till the last minute. Don't we do that? We try to wait till last minute to get things done. I just love these new Zoom weddings. I love, ever since COVID happened, I've been doing Zoom weddings. I just love them. You just show up and there's, you know, a few people, just the wedding party, that's all we can hold and under the regulations, and everyone else is on the camera, and you go through the ceremony, there's just no one coming down the aisle but the maid of honor, right? You're not waiting for a child. You're not waiting for this person. You're not waiting for the numbers to line up beside the bride or the groom. No, it's just them, and they come forward. You go through the ceremony, and after the ceremony, it's done. Isn't that wonderful? It's done. There's no pictures in the park anymore. There's no waiting 3 hours, starving, waiting for the reception to start. No, it's done. You can leave and go through drive-thru, go home and be home within like half an hour. It's just wonderful. You see, weddings is where I learned to do my famous Pastor Dwight prayers. When people are starving, waiting for the wedding party to come from doing the pictures, and they ask me as a pastor to pray for the food, that's where I say, Father, say with me, bless this food in Jesus' name, amen. And everybody loves it because the prayer's so short because they're hungry, they've been starving, but the wedding group, they don't care. They're sitting there taking pictures upon pictures upon pictures. But Zoom weddings, that doesn't happen. Just absolutely wonderful. I actually thought, what if I just only did Zoom weddings from now on? Think how difficult it would be going back to the regular weddings where it takes the whole day from the time the photographer shows up in the morning till when the reception is done. 12, 1 in the morning, and sometimes the bride or groom is gone and you're still there. And if you're in the wedding party, you're helping to take the gifts and you're helping to do stuff because the night doesn't end. Doesn't that just sound long to you, church? Doesn't it just sound long? Oh. See, wedding is where we kind of see the how the whole day works. And these virgins, they were all with the wedding from beginning to this point. So I can understand them being tired. I can understand them getting to the point of waiting for the groom, and the groom's delayed, and now they're getting drowsy, they're getting sleepy because midnight is approaching. And some are ready, and some are ready. We weren't ready. They fell asleep, but some fell asleep when they were ready, and some fell asleep when they weren't ready. Isn't it like going to work the next day? How many of you take your clothes out the night before? And you're all prepared. And how many of you in the morning, and you tell yourself the night before that you're not going to do it, but you do it. You get up and you're rushing to do everything to try to get out the door on time, and you could have been ready. There's some of these versions, 5 of them, they went to bed ready. And there are 5 that went to bed and they weren't ready. Jesus didn't care that they were falling asleep. Jesus didn't care that they even fell asleep. He cared about whether or not they were ready.
Amen.
So many people think that they can live their life how they want to live it, and when they get older, that's when they'll get it together. Right? When they've done all that they can do in their life, when they've had their fun, then I'll get my life together, and then I'll follow the Lord. So many people think that they're going to live to that point. It doesn't happen. I was just at a funeral a couple of days ago of a gentleman who retired, and after retired, he bought his dream car, and after buying his dream car, discovered that he had cancer. Thought he had time. Didn't have any more time. And we said it to ourselves, I have time. I can delay. I can wait. I have time. Luke chapter 12, Jesus told the story of a man who had that same mindset. He says, look, I've gained all this wealth, and I've bought all these things, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to build more things, and I'm going to get bigger storehouses, and I'm going to just live, marry, drink, be happy. And then God says to him, you fool, your life is required of you tonight. You're going to die tonight. You see, these 5 virgins without the oil represented those who sometimes just show up to church because it's being part of church. Those who say that they're believers or they're Christian, but there's no lifestyle behind it. They just enjoy the benefits of a Christian community without the true love for Jesus Christ. They're more concerned about the party than they are longing to see the bride. Jesus is trying to warn us of that. They had the opportunity to get their oil. Even during the procession, they had the opportunity. bed. They got their makeup done. The nails were done. The suit was looking slick. The cufflinks were popping out. But yet, they forgot the deodorant. Right? The most important thing. Believe me, I've done weddings where the wedding party has forgotten the deodorant. I'm standing up there. And we're all trying to figure out who it is. And everybody's looking innocent. But the most important thing, everybody looks great, but no one in the audience can tell by what we're smelling up on stage. Right? So what do? The Bible says they demanded it. Notice they didn't even ask. Give us some of your oil. Right? They wake up, they're not prepared. The bride's not prepared, the groom's not coming, and they demand, they're desperate now. Give us some of your oil. Excuse me? How much I paid for this oil? Their hope is that the association with these other virgins that when they said give us the oil, they said, oh, of course, we're in the same wedding party. Of course, I'll share with you. They thought that they could associate with them, pretend to be ready, and somehow it worked out, but it didn't work out. It's never the case. One person's faith in Jesus Christ cannot save another. Oh, I wish I had the ability as a pastor just to point out and pick out and say, God, this person, that person, everyone I meet, say, take them to heaven. And every time I said it would be dad time to grab my kids and when I'm going to heaven, take them all with me. But no, we all have a decision to make for ourselves. One person's faith cannot save another. Proverbs says that there's a way that seems right to a person, but the end leads to death. We can all think that we're going our own way, the right way, but to see that it separates us further from God. So what did the wise say? They said, sir, we can't help you. Man, that's hard to hear. We can't help you. And they say, go to the store and get your own. Now, it's midnight. Did you notice that? Like Shoppers is closing now. And you're telling them to go and to get your own oil. And Shoppers doesn't sell kerosene oil. And you're telling them, go to those who are selling and get your own, because there's not enough for both of us. There's not enough for both of us. Philippians chapter 2 says that we have to work out our own salvation. We have to be ready for ourselves. These poor, foolish virgins, as Jesus calls them, they come back, and we have no indication that they even got oil. We had no indication that they were able to buy, but they come back, and they knock on the door, and the groom says something that pierces their heart and says, I don't know you. I don't know you. It may look like you know me, but I don't know you. You may be wearing the clothes of the wedding party, but I don't know you, because you should have a torch, because someone could have robbed you and taken your clothes, and now it's kind of being an imposter to come into ruin this wedding. He says, I don't know you, because the wedding party, they had lamps, they had torches. Jesus ends by saying, watch them, be ready, because you don't know the day or the hour. Jesus is coming. You don't know. So what are we going to do to be ready and to stay ready? Well, right now, this week, ask Jesus, what is it that I have to do to get ready, Lord? What do I have to do to be ready? What do I have to do to stay ready? He'll hear us and he'll answer us. What is it in your life this morning that you know that you've neglected when it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ? You know what it is. Is it your salvation? Are you delaying and turning your life over to Jesus Christ? Do you still have more life to live before making him your Lord and Savior? Are you delaying in repentance? There's some things that you've done that you're just delaying and asking God to forgive you for those things. Are you delaying in forgiveness? That there's some people in your life that you're just choosing to not forgive? Are you delaying in holding back love from others, where you just refuse to love and express that love to those who are around you? Are you delaying in reading the scriptures, the Bible, and reading it for yourself to hear and to understand the message of Jesus Christ? Are you delaying in your commitment to even in attending church regularly? Have you made the excuses? Is that something that you need to do to get ready? Are you thinking that you have more time? Are you sleeping? Do you have enough oil? Our Heavenly Father knows who we are. He knows where we are in our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's telling you, He will tell you whether you're ready or not. He's telling you even now as I'm speaking to you about some of the things in your life that just aren't in the right place. He's showing you the people that you hate. He's showing you the people that you haven't forgiven. He's showing you how you've closed the door on Him so many times. He's reminding some of you of the dreams that He's given you, that He's spoken to you, or you knew that was a God moment and He was there. See, what are you going to do with that? See, once you know, don't go to sleep until you make your soul right with God. Do everything through the help of Jesus Christ to remain ready, to remain faithful and devoted to Him. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus says, "What will it profit a person if they gain this whole world and in the end they lose their soul?" Those are the foolish virgins at the door. Jesus said, "Sorry, I didn't know you." Then He says to us, "Therefore, watch, be ready, because no one knows." You got to get ready, be ready, stay ready. Let's pray. Father, this morning in the name of Jesus, we come before You. We thank You for each person that is in this room. We thank You for the lives that You've given each of us, the gift that You gave even today as we woke up this morning. You've been so faithful to us.